Fifthly, Christ was much in prayer, and that, number one, before he preached, Luke 9, verse 18. Follow him in this, O my soul, thou hast much need to pray before thou preachest. Be busy with God in prayer when thou art thinking on dealing with the souls of men. Let thy sermons be sermons of many prayers. Well doth prayer become every Christian, but much more a preacher of the gospel. Three things, said Luther, make a divine: tenatio, meditatio, and et precatio. Be stirred up, O my soul, to this necessary work, and for this end consider, letter A, that thou canst not otherwise say of thy preaching, thus saith the Lord. How wilt thou get a word from God if thou do not seek it? And how canst thou seek it but by earnest prayer? If otherwise thou mayest get something that is the product of thy empty head to mumble over before the people and spend a little time with them in the church. But oh, it is a miserable preaching where the preacher can say, thus I say to you, but no more, and cannot say, thus saith the Lord. Letter B. Consider thy own insufficiency and weakness together with the weight of the work. Who is sufficient for these things? Which, if thou do, thou wilt not dare study without prayer. No, yet pray without study when God allows thee time for both. It is a weighty work to bring sinners into Christ, to pluck the brands out of the fire. Hast thou not great need, then, to be serious with God before you preach? Letter C. Consider that word. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way. Jeremiah 23, verse 22. There is no doubt that preachers not standing in God's counsel this day and not making men to hear God's words is one great reason of the unsuccessfulness of the gospel. Now, this way, to wit, prayer and faith, is the most proper expedient for acquaintance with the counsel of God. Neglect it not then, O my soul, but be much in the duty. Letter D. Finally, remember that thou hast found much good of such a practice, and hast found much of the Lord's help, both in studying and preaching, by so doing. For which cause thou allottest the Sabbath morning entirely to that exercise, and meditation, if thou canst get it done. Wherefore let this be thy work, and there are these things which thou wouldst specially mind to pray for with respect to this. Number one, that thou mayest have a word from the Lord to deliver unto them, that thou mayest not preach to them the product of thine own wisdom, and that which merely flows from thy reason, for this is poor, heartless preaching. Number two, that thy soul may be affected with the case of the people to whom thou preachest. If that be wanting, it will be tongue preaching, but not heart preaching. Number three, that thy heart may be inflamed with zeal for the glory of thy master, that out of love to God and love to souls, thy preaching may flow. Number four, that the Lord may preach it into thy own heart, both when thou studiest and deliverest it. For if this be not, thou shalt be like one that feeds others, but starves himself for hunger, or like a waymark that shows the way to men, but never moves a foot itself. Number five, that thou mayest be helped to deliver it with a suitable frame, thy heart being affected with what thou speakest, faithfully, keeping up nothing that the Lord gives thee, and without confusion of mind or fear of man. Number six, that thou mayest have godly strength allowed for the work, that thy indisposition disturb thee not. Number 7, that God would countenance thee in the work with his presence and power in ordinances, to make the word spoken a convincing and converting word to them that are out of Christ, a healing word to the broken, confirming to the weak, doubting and staggering ones, and such the like, that God himself would drive the fish into the net when thou spreadest it out. In a word, that thou mayest be helped to approve thyself to God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Number 2, Christ was taken up in this work after preaching as well. And then he had sent the multitudes away. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. Mark 6, verse 46, Matthew 14, verse 23. Follow Christ in this, O my soul. It is better to do this than go away with the great people in the afternoon, which I shun as much as I can. And when at any time I do it, it is a kind of torment to me, which I have shunned, and do resolve to shun more. And if at any time I be necessitated to go, that I shall spend more time alone through grace. Pray to God, O my soul, that thy labors be not unsuccessful, that what thou hast delivered may not be as water spilt upon the ground. Pray for pardon of thy failings in public duties, and that God may accept of thy might which thou givest with a willing mind, that he would not withdraw his blessing because of thy failings, but that he would be pleased to water with the dew of heaven the ground wherein thou didst sow the seed, that it may spring up in due time, that the word preached may be as a nail fastened by the master of assemblies, so as the devil may not be able to draw it out. Think not, O my soul, that thy work is over, and thou hast no more to do when the people are dismissed. No, no, it is not so. Think with thyself that the devil was as busy as thou wast when thou wast preaching, and that afterwards he is not idle. And shall he be working to undo thy work, and thou unconcerned to hold it together? Oh, no, it must not be so. God will not be pleased with this. And alas, I have been too slack in this point before this. Lord, help me to amend. If a man had a servant that would go out and sow his seed very diligently and faithfully, but would come in and sit down idle when it is sown, and forget to harrow it and hide it with the earth, would the master be well pleased with him? Yea, would he not be highly displeased because the fowls would come and pick it up? So, O my soul, if thou shouldst be never so much concerned to get good seed and never so faithful and diligent in sowing it, yet if thou turn careless and take not the way to cover it by serious seeking to the Lord that he may keep it in the hearts of people and make it to prosper, the devil may pick it all up. And where is thy labor then? And how will the Lord be pleased with thee? Therefore, pray more frequently, cry more fervently to God when the public work is over than thou hast done, and endeavor to be as much concerned when it is over as when thou wast going to it. I do not doubt, but many times when thou preachest, get some checks and convictions of guilt. Some perhaps are strengthened, but both impressions wear off very soon. I fear thou must confess and take with a sinful hand in this, in that thou dost not labor enough to get the seed covered when it is sown, and the nail driven farther in when it is entered. Though many times thy body is wearied after the public work, yet sure thou mayest do more than thou dost, if thy soul were more deeply affected. The weariness of body would not be so much in thy mind, but thou wouldst trample on it, that thou might get good done by the work, and souls might not always thus be robbed by that greedy vulture and roaring lion, the enemy of thy own salvation and the salvation of others. Although he has been as busy to do harm all the day to souls as thou hast been to do good, yet he will not complain of weariness at night. Take courage then, O my soul, and be strong in the Lord, and do not give it over to this enemy. Endeavor to hold him at the staff's end. Thou hast a good second. Christ is concerned for his own seed as well as thou. Go on then, and be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, and let that ravenous fowl never get a grain away as long as thou canst get it keep from him. Thus then, O my soul, follow Christ in being taken up in this so necessary an exercise. Thy Lord and Master had no wants to get made up, and there was no fear of his failing in this work of the gospel. Yet he prayed to give all, and especially preachers of his word, an example. Lay not aside the pattern then, but write after his copy even in this. Sixthly, Christ condemned the world. He slighted it as not fit for any of his followers. He became poor that we might become rich, Matthew 8, verse 20. He gave himself entirely, at least after his inauguration, to matters that concerned the calling he had to the work of the gospel, John 9, verse 4. All, especially preachers, are to follow Christ in the contempt of the world. Yet we must beware of imitating him in those things which we are not commanded to follow, as voluntary poverty, this being a part of his satisfaction for the sins of the elect. Neither doth this exempt the preachers of the gospel from a lawful provision of these things necessary for themselves or others they are concerned in. For the apostle tells us that he is worse than an infidel who doth not provide for his family. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. Where churchmen are not accepted. Yea, it is clear that the ministers of the gospel may sometimes work with their hands for their maintenance, either when the iniquity of the times wherein they live does allow them what may be for their maintenance, or when the taking of it will hinder the propagation of the gospel, as is clear by the practice of the Apostle Paul. So that in which, with respect to this, thou art to follow Christ, O my soul, is that thou do not needlessly involve thyself in worldly matters, to the hindrance of the duties of thy calling and station. As thou art a preacher of the gospel, other things must seed and give place to that. This is that which our Lord teaches us. Follow thou me, and let the dead bury their dead. Matthew 8, verse 22. And the apostle, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. Which was the thing not observed by some, especially our bishops, who acted as magistrates as well as ministers, a thing which our Lord absolutely refused. Who made me a judge or a ruler, says he, yet digested by them, being an infallible sign of their ignorance of the weight of that work? And in my opinion, it is not observed either by some ministers nowadays, who when they have their glebes and their stipends sufficient for their maintenance, do notwithstanding take more land of farming. For my part, I see not how such can be said not to entangle themselves with the affairs of this life, and go beyond what doth become them as ministers of the gospel. Neither of these are my temptation now, being a probationer. But seeing I am unsettled, a corrupt heart and a subtle devil may take advantage of me, if I be not wary, and by their arguments from my present state may cast me off my feet if I take not heed. Therefore, O my soul, 1, beware of preaching smoothly upon the account of getting a call from any parish. have a care that the want of that, namely, a call, do not put thee upon men-pleasing. No, no, that must not be thy business. Remember, God provides for thee even now liberally as he sees fit. Thou dost not want even so much of the world as is very necessary, and he that has provided for thee hitherto, yea, took thee, and kept thee from the womb, will not forsake thee as long as thou dost not forsake him, but remaineth faithful. Remember, God hath set the bounds of thy habitation, and determined the time. Though men and devils should oppose it, they shall not be able to hinder it. It is God himself that sets the solitary in families. And why shouldst thou go out of God's way to procure such a thing to thyself, or to antedate the time which is appointed of God? Go on in faithfulness, and fear not. God can make, yea, will make, a man's enemies to be his friends, when his ways please the Lord. And though their corruptions disprove of thy doctrine, and thyself for it, yet their consciences may be made to approve it, and God may bind them up, that they shall not appear against thee. And what though thou shouldst never be settled in any charge at all? Christ and his apostles were itinerants. If the Lord see it fit, why shouldst thou be against it? If the Lord have something to do with thee in diverse corners of his vineyard, calling thee sometimes to one place and sometimes to another, thou art not to quarrel that. Perhaps thou mayest do more good that way than otherwise. If thou hadst been settled at home, then some souls here, which perhaps have got good of thy preaching, would have been deprived of it at least as from thee, and God will always give thee meat as long as he gives thee work. And go where thou wilt, thou canst not go out of thy father's ground. Further, if thou shouldst take that way and transgress for a piece of bread, thou mayest come short of thy expectation for all that, and lose both the world and a good conscience. But suppose thou shouldst by that means gain a call and a good stipend, thou losest a good conscience, which is a continual feast. For how can such a practice be excused from simony, seeing it is munus a lingua, and it is a certain symptom that a preacher seeks it not them, but theirs, and so thou gettest it, and the curse of God with it? No, Lord, in thy strength, I resolve never to buy ease and wealth at such a dear rate. Number 2. Beware that thou close with no call upon the account of stipend. Lay that by when thou considerest the matter. See what clearness thou canst get from the Lord when any call may be given thee, and walk according to his mind and the mind of the church. Woe is me if a stipend should be that which should enlarge me to a place. I would show myself a wretched creature. Consider matters then abstracting from that. For surely, letter A, this is direct simony, selling the gift of God for money. Let their money perish with themselves that will adventure so to do. Such are buyers and sellers that God will put out of his temple. Such are mere hirelings working for wages, and too much of Balaam's temper is to be found there. Letter B. That will provoke God to curse your blessings and to send a moth among that which thou mayest get. And it surely will provoke God to send leanness to thy soul, as he did with the Israelites in the wilderness when he gave them what they were seeking. Letter C. Thou canst not expect God's blessing on thy labors, but rather that thou shouldst be a plague to a people whom you sojourn with. In a word, Thou wouldst go in the wrong way and be discountenanced of God when you have undertaken the charge. Number three, there is yet a third case wherein this contempt of sliding the world should appear in one sent to preach the gospel. That is, when a man is settled and has encouragement or stipend coming into him, and so must needs have worldly business done, especially if he be not single, whereby he is involved in more trouble thereabouts than any in my circumstances for the time are. In such a case, a minister would endeavor to meddle as little as he can with these things, but shun them as much as lies in him, especially if he have any to whom he can well trust the management of his affairs. For surely the making of bargains or pursuing them are not the fit object of a minister's employment. Not that I mean simply a man may not do that and yet be a fisher of men, but that many times the man that takes such trouble in the things of the world to catch them indisposes himself for the art of man-fishing. But this not being my case, I pass it, referring any rules in this case how to walk till the Lord be pleased so to try me, if ever. Only do thou, O my soul, follow Christ in the contempt of the world. Do not regard it. Thou mayest use it as a staff in thine hand, but not as a burden on thy back. Otherwise, the care of souls will not be much in thy heart. And to help thee to this contempt of the world, consider, letter A, the vanity of the world. Solomon knew well what it was to have abundance, yet he calls all vanity of vanities. All is but vanity. The world is a very empty thing. It cannot comfort the soul under distress. No, the body it can do not good to when sore diseases do afflict it. The world cannot profit a man in the day of wrath. When God arises to plead with a person, his riches avail nothing. When he lies down on a deathbed, they can give him no comfort, though all his coffers were full. When he stands before the tribunal of God, they profit him nothing. Why then should such a useless and vain thing be esteemed? Letter B. Consider that the love of the world, where it predominates, is a sign of lack of love to God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2, verse 15. Yea, even in a gracious soul, insofar as the love of the world sways the heart, insofar doth the love of God decay. They are as the scales of the balance. As the one goes up, the other goes down. Letter C. Consider the uncertainty of worldly things. They are as a bird that takes the wings of the morning and flees away. Set not thy heart then on that which is not. How many and various changes as to the outward state are in a man's life? The beggar may well say, Hode mihi cras tibi. Vile men are sometimes exalted, honorable men are depressed, and the world is indeed volubus rota. That which part is now up shall before long be down. Seest thou not that there is no constancy to be observed in the world, save a constant inconsistency? All things go on in a constant course of vicissitude. Nebuchadnezzar in 1 hour is walking with an uplifted heart in his palace, saying, Is not this great Babylon that I have built, and the next driven from men and made to eat grass as an ox? Herod in great pomp makes an oration. The people cry out, It is the voice of God and not of a man. and he is immediately eaten up of worms. The rich man today fares sumptuously on earth, and tomorrow he cannot get a drop of water to cool his tongue. Letter D. Consider the danger that people are in by worldly things when they have more than daily bread. The rich man in Luke 12 felt this to be a stumbling block on which he broke his neck. The young man in the gospel, for love of what he had of the world, parted with Christ, heaven, and glory, and so made a sad exchange. Prosperity in the world is a dangerous thing. It is that which destroys fools, Proverbs 1 verse 32. When Jeshurun waxed fat, he kicked against God and forgot the Lord that fed him, Deuteronomy 32 verse 15. It was better for David when he was on the one side of the hill and his enemies on the other, and so in great danger, than when he was walking at ease on his housetop when he espied Bathsheba. And of this, O my soul, thou hast had the experience. Our Lord tells us that it is very hard for a rich man to be saved, and teaches us that it is hard to have riches and not set the heart upon them. What care and toil do men take to themselves to get them? What anxiety are they exercised with, and how do they torment themselves to keep them? And when they are got and kept, all is not worthwhile to them. Many by riches and honor have lost their bodies, and more have lost their souls. It exposes men to be the object of others, as Naboth was even for his vineyard. Who can stand before envy? Proverbs 27 verse 4. And see also 1 Timothy 6 verses 9 through 10. This ruined Naboth, 1 Kings 21. Debolam, Belisario, quiam virtus extulit invidia depressit. He that handles the world can very hardly come away with clean fingers. It is a snake in the bosom that, if God prevent it not by his grace, may sting thy soul to death. Number 5. Remember the shortness and the uncertainty of thy time. Thou art a tenant at will, and knowest not how soon thou mayest remove, and thou canst carry nothing with thee. Therefore, having food and raiment, which the Lord does not let thee lack, be therewith content, 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 through 8. Thou art a stranger in this earth, going home to thy father's house, where there will be no need of such things as the world affords. Why shouldst thou then, O my soul, desire any more than will carry thee to thy journey's end? Art thou going to set up thy tent on this side of Jordan to dwell here? Art thou saying it is good for me to be here? Art thou so well entertained abroad that thou desirest not to go home? No, no. Well then, O my soul, gird up the loins of thy mind. Thou art making homeward, and thy father bids thee run and make haste. Go then, and take no burden upon thy back, lest it make thee halt by the way, and the doors be shut before thou reachest home, and so thou lie without through the long night of eternity. And to shut up all, remember that there are other things for thee to set thy affections on than the things of this world. There are things above that merit thy affections. Where is Christ, heaven, and glory, when thou lookest upon the world, highly esteeming it? Seest thou no beauty in it to ravish thy heart? Surely the more thou seest in him, the less thou wilt see in the world. And hath not experience confirmed this to thee? Alas, when the beauty of the upper house is in my offer, that ever I should have any kindness for the world, that vile and dwarf and monster, that shall at the last be seen by me all in a fire. Lift up your heart, O my soul. Thou lookest too low. Behold the King in his glory. Look to him that died for thee, to save thee from this present evil world. See him sitting at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Behold the crown in his hand to give thee when thou hast overcome the world. Behold the recompense of reward bought to thee with his precious blood, if thou overcome. Art thou looking after toys and going off thy way to gather the stones of the brook when thou art running for a crown of gold, yea, more than the finest gold? Does this become a man in his right wits? Yea, does it not rather argue madness and a more than brutish stupidity? The brutes look down, but men are to look up. They have a soul capable of higher things than what the world affords. Therefore, pronaci cum spectant, animalia satira taram, os homini sublime didit, calumice tieri jusit et irictus ad sidera tollere vultus. Be then of a more noble spirit than the earthworms. Let the swine feed on husks. Be thou of a more sublime spirit. Trample on those things that are below. Art thou clothed with the sun? Get the moon under thy feet then. Despise it. Look not on it with love. Turn from it and pass away. Let it not move thee if thou be poor. Christ had not where to lay his head. Let not the prospect of future troublesome times make thee solicitous how to be carried through. For thou shalt not be ashamed in the evil days, and in the days of famine thou shalt be satisfied. Psalm 37, verse 19. God hath said it, therefore do thou believe it. Be not anxious about thy provision for old age, for by all appearance thou wilt never see it. It is more than probable thou wilt be sooner at thy journey's end. The body is weak. It is even stepping down to salute corruption as its mother, ere it has well entered the hall of the world. Thy tabernacle pins seem to be drawing out little by little already. Courage then, O my soul. Before long, the devil and the world and the flesh shall be bruised under thy feet, and thou shalt be received into eternal mansions. But though the Lord should lengthen out thy days to old age, be he that brought thee into life, he will not forsake thee then either. If he give thee life, he will give thee meat. Keep a loose hold of the world then. Shun it if thou wouldst be a fisher of men.